Alan Kring Productions, in association with Emergent Light Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, academic lectures in business and economics. This is Business Finance FIL 240 for spring semester 2026. Today, review for the midterm exam. I will say a few preliminary words about it, then we'll look at the numbers, which of course are part of the review in this case, but then I'll take you through a step-by-step of what you should study for the midterm exam. That will be, you write down what I say, and that will be your study guide. And then I will open it up for you to ask me questions about it. A few preliminaries on the exam. First and foremost, you are permitted 6x4 note card, front and back. You can also have that financial analysis formulas sheet for the exam. And those are your, make sure it's printed out. It will be in the Respondus lockdown browser. The two spreadsheets that you will use for it are already embedded, just like they were on the last two quizzes for the exam. So you won't have to worry about accessing them. They're within the lockdown browser itself for you. As far as other matters are concerned, of course, it is a 75-minute exam, and you must be in attendance here in the classroom to take it. I've had a couple of problems with students who are not in attendance, but they're taking the exam, and we shut the exam down if you're not here for it. If your attendance radar does not work, just hold your hand up, and we'll come up and mark you into attendance so that problem is solved. As far as anything else goes, don't sit on the back wall because that way we can't see you if your screen as we proctor the exam. Definitely, if you're planning to study for it, first, as far as review goes, definitely look at your notes and also open that podcast, the podcast, and listen to them. That's isu-prof.com. Have your notes open while you are listening to the audio, and it will amaze you at how many things you might have missed, and then you can catch them. Also, the next, of course, obviously, is the lectures, your notes, and then as a backup, also, the PowerPoint presentations are a decent study resource. The textbook is your last resort. It's pretty difficult to go through and review for an exam reading the textbook over again, but you can certainly access it for some materials. Do's and don'ts in class. Yeah, the note card is, make sure you make, and if there are some folks who have this, a thing where they'll actually type out a note card in a Word document and then shrink it down to a 4x6 piece of paper. That's a good idea, but of course, if you shrink it down too much, you're not going to be able to read it. But again, a note card is perfectly acceptable for the exam, front and back, 4x6. And I do have some in my office. If you don't have one of those, just pop by and ask. You can also come to my office hours tomorrow. We have a lot of office hours tomorrow. If you've got last minute questions and on content, or if you want to see one more time how to use those Excel spreadsheets, that's what we do. That's one of the big things we do, is just make sure that people know how to use them very effectively. Okay. I look at the numbers just to get started on this. And I'll also be mentioning, while we're looking at them, a few possible questions that I could have on the exam. But looking at the numbers, as you might have noticed, we are now in a regional war. It is not a police action. It is not an advisory action. This is an actual war. Big thing right now is that the oil that's come is cutting off. That's going to slow down the economies of about the half of the world. Oil prices skyrocket. They are up, definitely, but they're not as bad as they could be. Some analysts say that if this war keeps getting worse, we'll be talking about $100 a barrel oil. So we certainly do not want to have that what we're looking forward to going into the spring and summer. However, if we keep ourselves, keep just to the numbers, gold is definitely reacting, reflecting worries about very serious economic conditions ahead. Oil is up too. So that's all those factors probably will slow down these numbers going up much more. However, war is actually not bad for all stocks. For one thing, war stocks, and I will look at here at LMT, Lockheed Martin. And as you can see, it's just having a spectacular day. Lockheed Martin makes war machines. And there are other companies too, and they're all showing the same rise, this tendency to go up in a war situation. And then there are consumer defensive stocks. In bad economic times, those stocks with low betas tend to, they provide basics of life. Those tend to behave, react positively in bad times. So this doesn't mean that all stocks are going to be going down. There will be stocks that will suffer in this kind of an environment. Then there will be stocks that benefit. So keep that in mind when you're looking at investments. Now, let me go to the review with you. And if you would, do your attendance radar right now so we can get that rolling. And over with. Now, as far as reviewing for the exam goes, I cannot see. There we go, quizzes. There we go. Okay. And as I do this review, just so you know, I have the exam that you're going to take right here on my screen. So I'm not just guessing or estimating what I will ask you. I'm looking right at it. I don't like to sneak tricky problems in. I'm going to tell you as straight as I can what I expect you to know. As far as these markets, let's look at the markets. I will ask you questions from here. Okay, questions about, well, what measure tells us about the market value versus the intrinsic value? What measure would do that? What measure would tell us about the risk, relative risk of the security? I would ask you about that. I might ask you about the market cap. What does that tell us? I could ask you about some of the numbers on the exchange where you see the big numbers. What's an exchange? What is an index? What's a measure of risk? Those kinds of questions. Which one of these is a foreign bourse as opposed to a domestic exchange? Those kinds of questions I will ask you. That guarantees that those of you who are in attendance all the time know these like the back of your hand by now, because I repeat them every day. What's the price of oil right now, approximately, or gold or something like that? So make sure that you have that in your notes and you have a look at them while you're studying, just to see those numbers for yourself outside of the classroom, to see if those numbers look familiar to you. Let me go on with the, I suppose I could put the midterm up here on the overhead so you could see it. No. It isn't. Boy, that's a good thing. There. I was about to pull that over so I could see it better that midterm. Boy, everyone would have been writing fast then. Okay, here's the thing. Take you back now. First things first, one of your best study tools for this is the quizzes. Because those quizzes, I'm looking through this, and those quizzes, there are easily 10 questions straight off quizzes. Almost word for word. Maybe words a little changed. But those quizzes, go in there. Remember, you have to use your lockdown browser to go back in to look at them. But they are available for you, both with your answer and with the correct answer. Here's a tip. Use the correct answer if you see it on the midterm. In that same regard, be cautious when you are studying and words and definitions and terms. You will have an extraordinarily low success rate going to Google or to Copilot or Gemini or OpenAI. They will give you wrong answers. They will give you wrong definitions. And there's a very good reason for that, because they don't go behind paywalls. They can't. They just go to the open cesspool of the internet, Wikipedia, places like that. And so they do not have academic, professional definitions that they'll give you. They'll give you the first definition they find. First place they'll always go is to Wikipedia, which is actually one of the worst resources for accurate college-level knowledge. But be careful about that. Go to your notes and look in there and get all those terms and definitions down for you. Obviously, you should look at chapters 1 and 2, what your notes tell you from there. And also listen to the podcast, because I laid out a lot of foundational information, the difference between sole proprietorships, partnerships, and corporations, what is stock, what is the risk, which is riskier, stocks or bonds. I talked about two kinds of efficiency. Those are all going to be on the exam, just testing your foundational knowledge. Accounting versus finance. What costs matter to us versus what costs matter to accountants? I will ask you. And I think I actually did that on quiz 1 as well. So I will go back through that to make sure that you are rock solid understanding that finance and accounting are two very different disciplines. As far as other things go, definitions are crucial. Things like liquidity. There was obviously use of ChatGPT or one of those Gemini, and those who used it got the liquidity definition wrong. And some of those who got it wrong the first quiz got it wrong on the next time I asked it on a quiz. Stop looking on the internet. Get it out of your notes. Get it off the podcast for those kinds of definitions, like liquidity. I also went through financial intermediation. Make sure that you know how I explained it. The three pillars of financial intermediation. Let me go through here. Yeah, make sure you understand what a corporation is. What does stock represent? What are the two ways that an investor makes money off stock? Make sure you know those two ways that an investor makes money off a stock. Now, some stocks, you can make money only one way because the other way isn't there for that company. They choose not to use that. Let me pour down through here. Oh, okay. Now, one thing I did, financial statements. I'm not going to be expecting you to tear financial statements apart, find ratios or things like that. However, I would anticipate that you will know where certain things are, which financial statement presents certain information, certain numbers. Like, here's something, is that on the income statement, the balance sheet, or the statement of cash flows, or the statement of retained earnings? Okay, you want to calculate this. Which one of those financial statements is where you would get the numbers to do that? Not so much the numbers themselves, but you need to know where you want to show me. You need to show me that you know where to get those numbers when, if you do need them at some point. On a somewhat different note, make sure you understand the difference between the market price and the intrinsic price of a stock. And what number on the screens would tell you how the two are related for a given stock? Now, as far as ratios go, as I've told you, I am not interested in how fast you can or how accurately you can calculate a ratio. What I want to know is, do you understand what the ratios are telling us and how some of the ratios are related to each other? You remember that there were these categories of ratios, okay? In a category, which one of those ratios would be bigger? I'll give you a couple. Which one's bigger? Which one's smaller? On the subject of interest rates, what's in the risk-free rate? What's in the risk premium? If I described a kind of debt instrument to you, which one of those risk premiums would be affected the most by, is the most evident in the rate, the yield? Is it the default premium, the maturity premium, the liquidity premium? You need to tell me which one is impacted the most by the characteristics of the debt instrument. Going on here. Now, that's what I just said. Okay, now as far as rates go, when do I discount and when do I compound? In that same vein, if I'm discounting, what happens to present value if I decrease the discount rate? Or if I increase the discount rate? What does that do to the present value or a future value? Take your pick. Terminology. I will have several questions in the multiple choice and then a big matching section. So again, I can't emphasize this enough. Make sure that you get a comprehensive list of terms and words and know what they mean. Leverage, debenture, mortgage, spot, future, capital, money, opportunity cost, capital structure. Go through your notes and just get those words and terms out onto a piece of paper. And then you can correlate that with the podcast. And I can't emphasize those podcasts enough, because you can zero in on a lecture that you didn't really get the concepts all that well, And you can listen to the podcast of that lecture and get it straight from the horse's mouth, what I said. And that will be what you see as the right answer for an exam question. But the terminology, there's so much terminology in this course, and it's just poured at you a lot. Okay. I talked about liquidity before. Make sure you know the correct definition of liquidity. And also about liquidity, what's the difference between having a lot of liquidity and having not much as much liquidity in terms of expected return? In other words, if I keep lots and lots of cash, do I expect to make a lot of money on it when it just sits there in the bank? Or is it going to make me more money if I use that cash to buy fixed assets? Okay. I did some time talking about financial intermediaries, commercial banks, investment banks, mutual funds, ETFs. I will likely ask you something about that. I won't get deep into it, like private equity funds and things like that, but I will ask you something that's more what each does kind of thing, what one or two of them does and how they're different. As far as the lecture on Monday with bonds, it will be a very lightweight kind of approach to that, you know, debenture versus mortgage. What's the relationship between price and yield on a bond? I showed you that. I first did it with T-bills, and then I went back and did it again just to reinforce that concept of the relationship between yield and price of a bond. Make sure you know it, because I will ask you that. I don't know if I mentioned or not, but there have been some companies that I've returned to on a number of occasions when we looked at the numbers. Make sure you know what is, if I ask you about some of those, you know which ones are high risk and which ones are low risk. So go back through and look at where I emphasized high risk stocks and then contrasted those with low risk stocks. Okay, now, math problem. As on quiz four, it will walk first the first tab where you got the lump sum of a present value, and then you got the lump sum of a future value. And then I went on. In the second tab, you've got the annuities. You start with a present value of an annuity. And in that same worksheet, you got the future value of an annuity. And in that same worksheet, you have a loan payment. So they will be in order on the test as they are in order in the spreadsheet. So it gives you a very good way, guiding light, knowing which spreadsheet you should be using to get your answers. And you have numerous examples I've done in class. You also have quiz three and quiz four to get it. And there will also be a holding period return question. You can do that with a calculator, but you also will have that little mini spreadsheet I did where you just put in the beginning, put in the ending, put in the dividend yield, and you get your holding period return. So that should not be a challenge to you at all. If you are familiar with your spreadsheets, it should take you no more than about, 5 to 7 minutes to clean out the hard problems on the exam and get them all right. And I've done it on the quizzes 2 times now to give you more and more evidence of how to get the right answers on each of them. And as a side note on that, excuse me, tomorrow we have lots of office hours. Anything you want to ask, if you want us to show you another spreadsheet problem or two, by all means, come in. If you've got other questions, come in. We'll talk about them. I'll take you through it. Or our teaching assistant will take you through them to make sure that you are fully comfortable with doing those spreadsheets, because those are major points and they are really not bad as long as you stick to the spreadsheet following the directions that we've given you. As far as other topics are concerned, just as a note to you, now the number of questions. I can give you a number, but there are some that are multiple, like the matching. That's a bunch of little mini questions in one question, but you're looking at about 46 to 50 questions, which will give you about a minute and a quarter for each question. So one strategy that is probably a good strategy is to go through and clean out the easies first. There are enough of those, you can pass the exam. And if you are really comfortable with those spreadsheets, clear those questions out right away, and then they're done, and you don't have to sweat it running out of time at the end trying to key numbers into a spreadsheet. May not be your style. That's your call, but it's what I would recommend. Now, as far as I keep getting asked this, no matter how many times I say it, but here is the... I know that. I just want to put it. Let me show you the podcasting site. Again, even though I've shown you this a number of times, no, this isn't in Canvas. This is my private website where you will get all the podcasts. Your section is section 2, and as you can see, these are all in there set up for you to listen to. So all you have to do is click on the link. Okay, shut up. So shut up. Okay. And then if you don't want to hang around my creepy ass website, this is a hidden link over to Apple iTunes where I have my album has these same podcasts. Now, Apple archives anything that's past the 10th cast. So this, you probably wouldn't be able to get back to the beginning of the semester unless you went to the archive files. But this is another place where you can listen to those same podcasts. You can listen to them at double speed if I'm boring, or you can slow it down and stop it and back up if it's something that you really want to know again. Another point that I should make is if you want another lecture on exactly the same subject, I have the entire classes of FIL 240 going back years. So, okay, I didn't really understand his lecture this time on some subject. You can go to another year, another semester, and find that same topic just in this, like you could in the main panel. So you can listen to it again from a different, I might have given it a different lecture that time, a little different style, different examples. So these are another source for you for doing these, for studying for the exam. Why do I do this? Because I love you. No, I don't. But you can listen to it anyway. It's there free for you live the dream again. Listen to this lecture over if it's one that you didn't really get or you were absent or something like that. Now it's your turn to ask me questions. Go ahead. What do you want to know about it? If you don't have any questions, you see any? Okay. Oh, go ahead. Okay, I just closed it. Okay, lump sum, present and future, annuity, present and future, loan, that's five, and then a holding period return question, that would be six. Am I missing any? I think six. Yeah. It's pretty much the same thing you saw in quiz four, that just the same, almost in the same order. So I'm trying to get you comfortable. At least you're not scrambling to find the right spreadsheet. Just walk the order of the questions along the worksheets in the spreadsheet. You got all good on that? Anything else you want to ask about? Okay, if you're done with me, I am so over you for the day. That's all I have for you. I thank you.